Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Scoop and Trudy Show. I'm Scoop and
Trudy, and welcome.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
Yes, it's a good day, but it's good and gloomy for some reason.
Well, gloomy.
It's October.
No, it's not just October. We're having a global warming, and I think people should start paying attention to that, because it's been on the docket for a long time and people have just dismissed it. But I think now they can look at it with all of the bad weather that we've been having all over the country.
I know, isn't it scary with all of the storms?
Oh yeah, and it's part of the global warming. And I remember back in, the 70s, I talked to Al Gore, who sort of started a campaign after he lost the a nomination to be the second time for being vice president for the president and Clinton. Mm-hmm. And he started a campaign on global warming, and no one would pay any attention to him. But he had it. He had it going, and he's still doing it. And I think now maybe people can wake up to the fact that we do have a problem. In fact, the scientist that I heard on the air the other day was saying that it's a serious problem. And if we don't do something soon, we're going to lose something.
It's very interesting that you said if we don't do something soon. So how can you fix that?
I don't know how, but somebody knows how.
Yeah, I don't think.
Somebody better get busy.
Yeah, you know? I don't think the people who are in positions to say that we should do something soon actually have the power to do that.
Well, they're talking about the people in power.
No, they don't have the power to fix the weather. They can't do that. No.
That's the weather, but there are things that we can do to
save our earth, the things that we've done to damage it?
Yes.
Okay. That's a lot of taking back of years of damaging and trash and pollution.
You don't have to worry about it.
We won't have to. So, we talk about global warming and... Let's do what we normally do. Let's talk about what we did last week. Where did you go?
Well,
what did you do?
Last week, I want to give a shout out to the Legacy Report, the honors that I received with the Stephen Sattel Legacy Program, which was just awesome. It was awesome, and it was very well done. And I'm planning to have some of the honorees on our show in the future.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
They're all good people. They've done wonderful things, and... Mm-hmm. Well, you remember some of them. Of course, it was including myself, Dick Allen, and Asa Moore in memory, and a coach, Tina Sloan Green, who I've never met. She's fantastic. And I hope someday soon we can have some of these people on the show.
That'll be great. So that's where we come in with one of the things that I'm actually known for, my paper is renowned for, is history. And recognizing people who've done good things for the community and for the people in Philadelphia.
And still working at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's one of the things that really, really is near and dear to my heart, more than ever, recently. So what I did last week, I had a very, very, very interesting weekend. My life is great. I run from one part of the city to the next. So when I left here last week, I was blessed to be able to go home to take a nap. That doesn't happen that often. And I got up late on Friday, which was great.
What do you do for beauty naps?
What I do for beauty naps? I don't take a nap. I literally, because I run so much, when I go to sleep, I am like unconscious, zoned, not moving, can't hear anything.
You put things on your eyes to keep them
bright. I lay back and put my head up and I am asleep.
You put your legs up?
Nope. I just lay flat, straight,
folks,
on my back.
You should see her. She looks gorgeous.
I am just asleep.
That's youth for you.
Youth? Miss Trudy, I turned 49 on Tuesday. I'm not that young.
Well, happy birthday.
Today, yeah, that's the voice, by the way. Welcome.
Oh, my God. It was
welcome,
a heck of
Shirley.
A day. It was not one of those like partying birthdays. I was doom and gloom all day. Until about what time? Shorty came to see me at 8 o'clock, and he brought me a soda and two glasses, and we toasted with my favorite.
What was in the soda?
It was a Mountain Dew. It was my energy drink. He's like, I know you're tired, so take your Mountain Dew. So he toasted me, which made me late for a meeting that I was running to get to, which I was very, very, very late. So I walked into there late, but I got there just in time to do what I needed to do and leave. And then I went back to work. So my birthday was all work, all work. And the best thing was, I at the end of the day, I'm sitting in my office at 12 o'clock at night. And I look
that was,
at...
That was a good thing.
Yeah, it was a good thing. I'm going to tell you. Because I didn't have many things that happened to me that were birthday exciting-ish to me that day. So it was kind of like, this is a blah, blah birthday. And I happened to look at my phone because Facebook gives you all of these updates. And in my updates... Well, well over 200 and some people just wishing me happy birthday,
really?
Happy birthday, happy
nice.
Birthday, happy
was,
birthday.
Oh, that's cool.
So then I sat there and I was like, oh, you feel so bad. But at least I smiled at 12 o'clock when it wasn't my birthday anymore. It was like, this is crazy. Because normally I have time to look at stuff throughout the day. But for this particular day, I didn't even look at my phone at any of that until like 12 midnight. So then I was so happy. Because I was like, all right, it wasn't all bad.
So it was a good day.
It was a good day.
You know what? Every day is a good day. And it's just that expectation that we put on the word birthday that makes you think that the world is supposed to turn for you. I will say that I'm going to kill my kids and my husband at some point because they didn't forget. They just didn't respond in the manner in which they normally do.
What do you think birthdays really mean for people?
Birthday means that you're supposed to celebrate me more than you ever have, and you're supposed to give me gifts and gifts and gifts and gifts and gifts and gifts all day.
Do you like flowers, candy? What do you like?
I like pocketbook, shoes, diamonds.
Okay, that's being honest.
Pocketbook, and that's usually what I get. Usually I get a pair of red bottoms. I get some earrings and necklace. I got zip. So this weekend is probably going to be off the chain. Somebody better be coming up with a gift for sure.
Wait, somebody's heard that, and I'm sure you're going to have a fabulous weekend.
No, I just put my foot in my mouth. I'm not going to get anything because that's the type of family I have. The sarcasm is there. Oh, you're going to put us on blast? Really? You get nothing.
Do you think people really look forward to something on their birthdays and particularly holidays, Valentine's Day and things like that?
I don't care. I don't care about any of those other days. It's my birthday. Okay. It is that day. It is the day that the Lord blessed the world with me and blessed you with me so that I can have you and I can make your life work.
There's nothing shy about this girl.
Not at all.
Never.
Not at all.
Never. So all about my birthday, I'm going to tell you what I did. So I've been, how do you say it? I've been invited to be a part of the 400 Years Coalition. So do you know what 400 years means?
We won't see it, but okay.
You know what? So 400 years refers to, and this is my history side, yay. Not saying yay like that because it's not a happy thing. 400 years refers to the first person, the first African slave who was brought into the United States. It was 400 years ago in 219.
Who said so?
Okay.
History books.
All right. Talking about history books.
Yes.
I had an opportunity to talk and interview Mr. Blockson, through name
Charles
right
Blockson.
Out. Yes.
Yeah.
And at his library at Temple University, and he is part of a legacy, I'm sure that you know. But when you talk about history, when I first came to Philadelphia, he was one of the first persons that I did meet, and I sort of depended on him quite a bit for helping me get through some hard times at KYW when I first started.
Oh, wow.
But his library is so intensive and complete that I think he's probably the best in the country.
I'm sure he is. And I can say that because I kind of kept my stuff from going to his library because part of my history, the Scoop history, was scheduled to go to Blocks, and I said, oh no, I'm alive and kicking. It stays with me. I'm not sending nothing nowhere. Because my photos and stuff were supposed to go to him. If I didn't keep the paper, everything was going to go to his library. So,
like all those archives that you have?
All of those archives that I have. Those wonderful archives. Yes. Yeah. The old papers.
Well, before taking over the paper, how were you building them for as being a reporter or what?
But with Mr.
Driver,
he actually had, if our office was a walk-in paper, You walked in and you felt as though you were in a newspaper, because in the front of the office, it was paper stacked up. In the back of the office, it was paper stacked up. And it was just old stuff everywhere. So with that being said, it was just everywhere. But it was a little organized. It was organized enough for me to be able to pack it nicely and now unpack it even nicer. But
so when are you having open house?
I don't think I'm ever going to have an open house. My paper in my office is so small and just home and cozy. It's like inviting the world into your personal living space. So I think we'll do things outside of school.
I know one thing I liked about going up to your office was the fact that your daughter was there.
Ah, my family is always there. They need to go home.
They're very supportive. So even though they forgot the gift, maybe you have a gift in having them. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
At any given moment, somewhere in America, a baby is taking a first step, a developmental milestone. But for too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle. These are the parents of babies who were born prematurely or with birth defects. It's a crisis affecting more than 500,000 babies in the United States each year. You can help them by joining volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Together, our steps make stronger, healthier babies a reality for thousands of families. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible. Who will you march for?
Well, I see that the Made Man Foundation is having something, and the barbershop is something that's a legacy.
Yeah, it is.
Black barbershop, because that was where everybody used to meet and had fuss, cuss, and resolve things.
Yeah, I think that it is still, in a sense, some of the same things that it was before. I think it's just a little, there are so many more now. Just like
with, you think so? I think I was missing some.
No, I think that there are certain people. I mean, you have your certain barbershops that you relegate to and that you commune at, and it's the same people there, and they have their conversations and their support networks. The difference is that in days before now, there weren't as many. Now there are millions of barbershops.
Oh, and I got this opposite impression. I thought we were.
I mean, there are more. No, they're. There are, and there are a lot of people who, because of the way the world is set up nowadays, cut hair at home. There are still those opportunities to commune and congregate. I don't think that it's taken advantage of to the extent that it should be as far as...
Well, they used to have a school on Broad Street.
Yeah,
to,
I don't... Yeah.
Now, that disappeared.
Yeah, it used to be at Broughton Nidra.
Yeah.
The barber school. I remember my mom used to take my brother there to get his haircut. It was so hilarious.
And they used to have a school, and that I think that disappeared. Maybe that gave me the impression that the barbershop was...
No, they still have other schools, and I think they've pretty much kind of merged some of the barber schools with the hair schools. Because you have female barbers, too.
Oh, yeah.
So I think they're all together
now.
Everything
is mixed.
So I think, well, I guess it makes sense. It, like, the cut is going to be, like, it's a male cut and a female cut, but a cut is a cut. Like, if we're going to learn, we should all be able to learn all of the things together, you know. And you pick what's going to be best for you. You know, if you prefer to cut a certain style, then that's what
you
do.
So you want everything you know.
I think it is. It's not what I want.
Yeah,
I'm not into hair at all. You see, I have a ponytail. It's the easiest thing for me to do, which is why I will not get a haircut. I will not get my haircut at all. So back to...
Having said that, you're not supporting the barbershop or the hairdresser.
Yes, well, I do. I have a hairdresser. I get curls. I had my hair out, but I don't. I go to my hairdresser, what, every other week. She fights me because I may come every 3 weeks because I have hair and I can brush it.
Because you got the ponytail.
Yes.
And that's a saver.
Yes, because I don't have to go every time I turn around. I was blessed, fortunate to my Indian heritage that I have a pretty decent grade of hair, thank God. So I could just brush it into a ponytail and go. So
okay, well, I use turbans
okay.
to cover up my mess. Ah. And then a day like today is not really complimentary for a hairdo, so...
It's a good day. It's October. I was born in October. It's what it's supposed to be.
Okay. It's, well, mine's coming up, so.
Yeah, and you're yep. in November, so mm-hmm. you go.
I'm on the cusp, by the way.
I know, so you were telling me.
I'm part of October and part of November. I'm a dual personality.
Uh-oh. That explains it.
That was the voice, folks. That was the voice. So, go ahead.
So, listen, so it's almost mid-October. We haven't talked about Domestic Violence Month, and I really, really wanted to talk about this because it's something near and dear to my heart, and it actually is something that has impacted me a lot more than I, and I'm sure many other females, even want to admit. Mm-hmm. I seem to be a part of a cycle of domestic violence. Like, my mom was involved in domestic violence, which is why she became ill and got sick. She actually ended up in a relationship with someone who, in her running to get away from them, she jumped down a whole stairwell and ended up hurting herself and having seizures for the rest of her life. Mm. And then at 18, around the same age that she was when I became 18, I, of course, was in a relationship with Shamel's, my oldest daughter's father, and we actually were violent to each other. I say to each other because in my fighting him back, I started to become a violent person too. And but when my daughter turned 17, here she was, domestic violence. And I have to say that it's something that when you become involved in a violent situation, what I did, and I can only speak for what I did and what I encouraged my daughter to do, and when I, what I did was I thought about it and I realized that I had to look at what was healthy and what wasn't healthy. And that was my way of rationalizing that I needed to get away because I found that it was unhealthy and that I had a small kid and I needed to live. And that being in a situation where I was being beat and fought and as little as I am, walking around with possibly a black eye once or twice, or being in a situation where somebody pours wine on you in front of the entire world. It's hilarious now because I was kind of like, what? But to know that those things happen and they still happen to this day, and then to find myself in a situation 18 years later with my daughter, and she was living through it, and the message I shared to her was that, you know, I had to do, it was weird because my mother had to do it with me. So I was kind of like, this is how she felt. This is horrible. Because you don't listen to anybody when you're involved in a situation like that. You see that you love somebody and what really happens is you love them more than they love you. And you love them and you want them to be this person for you and love you back. And you keep thinking that that's going to happen, but it doesn't. And you have to say to yourself, and what I said to her was, I'm not running for you anymore. I'm not coming to the hospitals. I'm not doing it. I had to back off and let her make her decisions. But in making her decisions, I had to say to her that, you know, I love you to death and I will be here for you, but you have to decide if this is healthy for you or not. You have to make the same decision that I made almost 20 years ago. And thank God for me, she made that decision and she walked away. And it's something now that she hates and she despises. And she's a psychotherapist and she talks to kids about it. So we've actually hopefully broken our cycle. But it is something that's near and dear. And this weekend, the National Congress of Black Women is having a conference. And it's free and it's at Swarthmore University. And if you're experiencing something or if you just want to become informed so that you can help other people, I think that that's something you should do. So you can look up the National Congress of Black Women and find out more about it and actually go out. It's a free conference. It's all day Saturday.
Okay. So it's really, and where?
It's at Swarthmore College. So that's in Media. Mm-hmm. So you really need to go. So I think this is our time for a little break. So in ending on a serious note, if you're experiencing something like this, please think about yourself, think about your situation, and let's try to get out of it.
You did beautifully.
Introducing the YMCA. What, you already know the why? Or so you think. Sure, you know the why for a swim, a workout, even a game of hoops. But did you know we're more than that? We're a cause. When you take your jump shot at the why, someone else is getting job training. Take a cardio class while kids are in an after-school enrichment program. Practice your downward-facing dog as a teen practices her leadership skills. That's the why. We work with people no matter their age, income, or background, and give them the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive, all with one simple goal in mind, to strengthen our community. And we've got so much more that does just that. So while you might think of the Y as that place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. Introducing the Y. We're so much more than a place. We're a cause. Visit ymca.net/more.
I can't promote. I want to go to New York this weekend. You need to get away. You want to go?
So I'm actually trying to get away. I asked my husband if and sorry guys for the severity of the last couple of minutes, but I really really need to help get this message out. But on to hopefully something a lot more positive and well not positive and enlightening and fun and enjoyable. Miss Trudy says she wants to go to New York. I'm all for it. But I'm kind
See,
of
I was born in New York. I was
Are
born
you?
The, yeah. It's funny that I have to say this, but I was born at Bellevue Hospital. Okay. At that time, it was nut people.
That
people
explains
had problems.
It.
You just had to jump in there and do that to her? Really? Who does that?
I was born in Bellevue Hospital, and I lived in Harlem for the younger part of my life. And then we moved to Queens. And my experiences as a youngster in those days was nothing like yours. And I'm very proud to be sitting here next to you to have had that, not that you had it happen, mm-hmm. but that you've been able to evolve a personality from that. That's very rewarding and very helpful to our viewers.
Yeah, well, I have to, and I said it last week, and I will always say it, not more than I need to, because you never give thanks enough. I thank God all of the time for, you know, the person that I've been, the things that I've lived mm-hmm. through, because I see eyes through a different lens. And then I have people such as my younger brother who, when I don't see eyes through the right lens, is my conscience and says, don't forget where you came from. Mm-hmm. Like, always remember who you are, why you are, and what it is that you do. Like, and he brings me back, and he brings me back. So,
Well, I'm going to tell you, I married a guy in 1977 mm-hmm. from an island, the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And anytime we have an argument mm-hmm. and I get out of hand, you know what he does? He walks out on me. He just turns his back and walks out on me. So I'm standing there arguing with myself. And it doesn't work. So there you go.
You can't fight. You can't fight by yourself. That's possibly one of the best tactics. But see, you're fortunate enough to have somebody who won't walk out on you. My husband and I, we just had this very intense conversation in which he said to me, "I promised you 20 years ago that I would never leave you, never ever." And it's like, wow, like the things that you forget, you know, like. It, when you're caught up in the moment, you really, really tend to oftentimes, unfortunately, forget the important things. And when that was said to me 20 years ago, I was raising a 12-year-old kid in between three jobs, trying to figure out how to make sure that I gave her more than what I had. And then my husband came and he said, "I will never leave you." And that was like amazing to me, to find somebody who would stick by me through thick and thin and just like be there. So I have to give him kudos for that, because when we argue, like, we don't, and it is weird because we don't argue, like, we never do.
Who could argue with you?
Exactly.
We've been listening here. Who could even get in a word edgewise?
We don't argue.
There's
no argument.
It's a statement.
So mine walks away, and yours, you keep your mouth going.
We don't, no. I actually, I must talk enough outside of the house, because when I'm in the house, I'm very, very reserved and quiet. I read books. I do things to, I guess, nurture my mind so that I can talk when I walk out.
Okay.
I guess that's what it's supposed to be.
Good job. It works. It works, folks.
It's a talk one of radio
those,
show.
One of those two problems is going
to
work.
It's a talk show. You're supposed to talk. This is what we get. This is what we're here for.
This is what you do.
You walk out. Or you read a book. Or what's really coming over the country right now, a hugging. Everybody's doing hugging.
I've always been a hugger.
Give me a hug, baby.
I've always been a hugger.
Oh, try that. Try that when the next time you have feeling bad or you meet someone that you don't like, hug.
That's one of my warm and fuzzy things.
And take a hug and have a hug of a day.
Uh-oh. Look at you. You're doing a whole commercial here. Hugs.
Well, they seem to work. You know, I hate to, well, I won't say that so much, but I don't like kissing because that's a little personal.
Yeah.
But a hug works, and I've tried it all over.
We
got to give Shorty a hug.
I'm not hugging him today. See? He doesn't feel well. I'm staying as far away from him as I cannot get
well,
sick.
Well, see, when you hug, you can turn your face.
No. If you give a real, genuine heart hug, you can feel it. It's something that you feel in your heart. You can actually feel.
And that's why it's working, yeah.
You can feel a real hug.
Yeah.
You know, you can feel when somebody
not the elbows.
Yeah, when somebody's not genuine and they just give you that.
And slap the hands.
Yeah, that stuff. But if you're a hugger and you're somebody
crunching hug.
Yeah, you can give a real hug. And that's what I would do. So one more thing, because time's running out, but I need to give kudos and claps and congratulations to one of my, I guess, my paper friends. Mr. Al Thomas, I'm actually leaving here. When I leave here tonight, I don't get to go home and go to sleep. I have to go to the South Jersey Journal over in Jersey. They're having a celebration tonight where they're, I guess, honoring people from South Jersey and giving recognition. So have to go and support another paper owner and what it is that they're doing over there. But congratulations. I'll be coming up on my 1 year soon, but I'm not having a big, I'm giving everything away party. Actually, I'm just going to celebrate quietly with my staff. So,
and I'm coming up on my, can I say,
on
my
your
50th anniversary for my television show.
TV show.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations to you. 50.
50. No, 50.
50th episode.
50th episode.
I'll tell you more about that when we meet next week.
That's awesome. Congratulations. And to everyone, thank you for having us again. This is Scoop and
Trudy.
Take care.